You're listening to the teaching ministry of Pastor Randy Castillo of Harvest Bible Church, Arizona, where the Word of God is taught and lives are being changed. Please feel free to visit us on the web at hbcaz.org. That's Harvest Bible Church, AZ. Now please, open your Bible, prepare your heart. Here's Pastor Randy.
Yes, Lord, we are truly loved by you, and to be loved by you is to have peace. Father, to have your love is to know that we are in need of nothing else. And Father, we would pray tonight that you would prepare us to be a sanctuary, Lord, living and holy, set apart for you. Lord, that we would do that through thanksgiving, through trusting in our Heavenly Father, and in the finished work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And so, Lord, we bend our hearts, we bend our lives, we come prostrate before you, Lord. For you are King of kings and Lord of lords, and Father, we seek to do your will and to know your heart and to love as you love. And so, Father, enrich our faith tonight. Expand the borders of our faith tonight. And Father, we know that this can only be achieved by your Holy Spirit and by the love of Jesus Christ, who has given us all things. And so, Lord, we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. Awesome. You may be seated. Well, it's Thanksgiving tomorrow, in case you didn't know. If you didn't, we need to have a counseling appointment. I figured we'd take a break from 1 Samuel, and I want to do a study on thankfulness, the lost art. And we're going to use various scriptures, but if you would open your Bibles to Psalm 106... we'll hit various scriptures, but that's a great place to start. Psalm 106, verse 1. If you need a Bible, Glenn's got Bibles for you. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise the Lord, O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercies endure forever. Now, I want you to notice something, folks. Praise the Lord is not a suggestion. In fact, we are told over and over again in Scripture that we are to praise the Lord. In fact, Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord when? Always. What if I said rejoice in the Lord only when things are good? No. How about if I said, rejoice in the Lord sometimes? So when are we to rejoice in the Lord? Always. Now, we say that, but if we actually look back at this last year, I think that there are many of us who could say that, you know what, maybe I didn't rejoice in the Lord always. Maybe I rejoiced in the Lord when it was convenient. Maybe I rejoiced in the Lord when things looked great. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Here you go. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about some things. About anything. Have you had anxiety this year about something? I don't want to know. Don't tell me. But in everything, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So what happens, folks, is so often we get into situations because this life throws curveballs. This life doesn't go along as we would like it to go all the time. Sometimes this life will do things that don't feel so great. And we have to go, what is going on? But we have to also say this, you know what? I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to deal with the things that I'm dealing with. But God is good. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is always. Thank you. Yes. Give thanks to the Lord. Listen, we should be able to give thanks to the Lord in every situation. But it's hard sometimes. Listen, let's be honest. This life and the things we deal with are not always expected. You see, if we knew what was around the corner, we could maybe brace ourselves. But even in bracing ourselves, even if you know what's coming, once it hits, sometimes it hits so hard that it just rocks your world. And so giving thanks to the Lord is speaking about, in every situation, speaking about when we go to God in prayer. There's George Mueller. He was a missionary to China. Great biography. If you ever get a chance, we've got his biography in the bookstore, I do believe. But if you ever get a chance to read George Mueller's life story, amazing. Why? Well, one thing is because he did his missionary work all based on prayer. In fact, he had 50,000 prayers answered. Now, how do we know this? Well, because he kept a log of all his prayers. And so in his diary of prayer, he had 50,000 prayers answered. How many of you have had 50 prayers answered? Listen, I'm just joking. Of course, God answers prayers. Some people would say, but Pastor Randy, God doesn't answer my prayers. Sure he does. He just may not answer it the way you were hoping for him to answer. Sometimes the answer that God gives us isn't the answer we were looking for. Like, for instance, if one of my kids came up to me, you know, when they were little, you know, 8 years old, like my son Randy, little Randy came up to me when he was eight and said, Daddy, buy me a shotgun. No. You're not answering my request. Yes, I did. I said, no. Because, see, sometimes what we think is good for us, we don't realize that God knows that it would be harmful for us. See, God won't give me a red Porsche because he knows what my right foot isn't saved. And that would be very, very bad for me. Trust me, even if someone gave me a red Porsche, I couldn't afford the tickets, let alone affording the car. So God knows what I need. But, you know, sometimes we think, but I need this. I could use this. This would be great if I had it. And God's like, no. Or maybe he's saying, wait. But God answers prayers. Oh, but Pastor Randy, you know, you have prayers answered. George Mueller has prayers because you guys are pastors. Listen, it doesn't work like that. You guys are good people. Yeah. There's none good, none are righteous, no, not one. That's what the Bible tells us. Everyone has fallen short of the glory of God, including George Mueller, including my pastor and his pastor, Billy Graham, Chuck Smith. They all fall short. But it shouldn't stop us from recognizing that all good things come from God. And it's not based on how good you are. It's based on that you're seeking him with all your heart. Because, by the way, if it was that God answers only good people's prayers, how good would we have to be? Jesus is a standard, right? What about Paul? Paul, how good was he? He wrote most of the New Testament, and yet he asked something of God, and God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. God doesn't answer the prayers because we are good. God answers prayers because he's good. He doesn't answer prayers sometimes the way we want because he knows what we need. But someone will come to me, but Pastor Randy, I want to be thankful. in this time. Especially, we're looking at Thanksgiving tomorrow. A day that we set apart for being thankful for what we what have. But Pastor Randy, I'm stressed. I'm losing it. Good. Lose it. If you can't, if you lose it, you can't find it, you shouldn't be stressed anymore. Let it go. Let God have it. And speaking of George Mueller, here's what he says. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. But the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. Oh, ouch. Right? Listen, here's what I know, folks. When I have anxiety, I lack faith. Plain and simple. And it can happen to me, it can happen to you, it can happen to we, it can happen to all of us. And that's where we have to come back and say, but God, him a good God, him do. He's a good God. Listen, Psalm, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Giving thanks in prayer is an expression of faith. Do you realize that? If you can, in any situation, go to God and say, Lord, I don't like this. It don't feel good. But I thank you for being my God, and I don't know how, but you're going to get me through this. And I'm going to thank you today for what you're going to do tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. Giving thanks in prayer is an expression of faith. In fact, James talks about this. James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, he talks about prayer and faith. He says, if anyone lacks wisdom, that would be me. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given to him. And then he says this, but let him or her ask in faith without doubting. When you come to God with a prayer of desperation, oh, God, help me. What you're saying is you don't believe his promises. He's already promised to help you. He already promised that you would be more than a conqueror. He already promised that you can endure all things through Christ who what? Strengthens you. He already promises that. He already promised. He said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give. So let not your heart be what? Troubled. Neither let it be what? Afraid. So he's already promised that. So when you and I go, oh God, help me, what we're saying is we don't really believe it. We don't really trust what he has already told us. That's doubting. If we really believed that he loves us, that he loves you, and that he loves me, that he will help us, you would praise him for his promises that he's already made. So even in that difficulty, you'd come to God and say, God, this, I don't like it. It don't feel good. But you promised, and you're not a liar, and you love me. And you proved it on the cross. So if you would die on the cross for me, you're not going to leave me now in this situation. It just may be that you want me to realize that, so you're stretching my faith. And I don't like it. I don't like to be stretched. I like this. A.W. Tozer, he says this. Perhaps it takes a pure faith to praise God for unrealized blessings than for those we once enjoyed or for those we enjoy now. It's so true. It takes a purer faith to praise God for unrealized blessings. It's so hard. Folks, I'm with you. There are times in my life when I'm going through something that feels like I can't handle it. And God says, Randy, you're right. You can't handle it. So give it to me and stop your whining. I was like, well, I want to give it to you. I want to figure this out on my own. And God says, okay then, give it a shot. I'll be here when you're done. And finally, when I'm tired of struggling, I can finally go, God, I'm okay, I tried it. You're right. You're right again. Go figure, you're God. Here, take it, Lord, and I'll just wait for your blessings because you're good. And I have a thankful heart for his mercies endure forever. And here they come right now. A whole truckload. Goodness gracious. I don't know what that was. Harleys. God rides a Harley. No. For his mercy endures forever. His mercy. That, by the way, when it says his mercies endure forever, that's not even taking in consideration his grace on top of his mercy. Remember, mercy is not getting what we deserve. We deserve death, so he shows us mercy. He gives us eternal life. But then on top of that, he pours grace. The things that we don't deserve added to. Not only does he not give us what we deserve, which is mercy, but then he gives us a bunch of blessings on top of that, which is his grace, and we don't deserve that. It doesn't run out, folks. His mercy never runs out. So what should we do? We should put our hope in him. Listen, there's two things you can do. You can stress out because you have a life of difficulty, or you can put your hope in God. You can have a hopeless end, or you can have an endless hope that never runs out. But you and I get to choose. You get to choose today whether you're going to have a hopeless end or an endless hope. Prayerfully, if you put your heart and trust in him, you're going to have an endless hope. So here we are. Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. A couple of you want me to have Thanksgiving. The rest of you don't care. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. It's a holiday. No, it's not too much. I could use a little more. Happy Thanksgiving. We call it a holiday. A holiday. Y'all, if you've been coming here for any length of time, you understand that a holiday is what? A holy day. Holy day. What does holy mean? Set apart. So Thanksgiving, Happy Thanksgiving, is a day to be set apart. Unfortunately, folks, like most holidays anymore, they're anything but holy days. Easter, supposed to be the resurrection of Christ. It's now by society, not churches, not HBC. It becomes more about picnics and Easter egg hunts and chocolate bunnies and baskets and cute little yellow dresses and white shoes and things like that. And by the way, also a 6-foot bunny that's kind of scary. Christmas. Christmas becomes about lights and trees and gifts and a 6-foot fat man. Also very scary. In a red suit. Ever notice, and I say this all the time, but I like to reiterate it. You ever notice how on your birthday, who gets the gifts? You do. And it's Jesus' birthday, who gets the gifts? You do. There's something wrong here. And Thanksgiving, tomorrow. It's become about food and family and friends.
And football.
Is that right? Y'all watch football? People watch football? Some people do. There's no football tomorrow? There is football. Okay, I don't know. Thankfulness seems to be a lost art. Thankfulness seems to be, well, I'll be thankful in a little bit, but first pass me the mashed potatoes. Then I'll be thankful. I like what Warren Wiersbe, he tells a story. It's kind of neat. It's a ministerial student in Evanston, Illinois, was a part of a life-saving squad in 1860. A ship went aground on the shore of Lake Michigan. Edward Spencer waded again and again in the frigid waters to rescue 17 passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. Some years later, at his funeral, it was noted that not one of the people he rescued ever thanked him. Do you realize that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has waded in the sea of humanity to rescue us from the cold sin of the world? And by the way, it's caused his body physical damage that was permanent. It's permanent damage. I love, this is one of my favorite verses in Revelation. The first time I saw this and I realized, it blew me away. Please turn to Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. It's one of my favorite verses in Revelation. I have a lot, but this is one of probably top five. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. Speaking of Christ having come down to the world and having saved us and the permanent scars in which he bears, when I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. So there's Jesus looking like he was slain. In other words, Jesus Christ bearing all the scars that it cost him for you and I to be there. And here he looks and he sees Christ. And he's got the scars. Watch the thankfulness. Now, when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saint. And look at this. And they sang what? A new song. So they see Jesus with all the scars. They realize what it cost for humanity, anyone who wanted to believe in him and put their trust in him. They fall down because they're blown away. The Lord God has done this so we can be here. And they fall on their face in reverence. Listen to the thankfulness. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, and people and nation. See, there's the mercy. He has redeemed us to God by his blood. That's his mercy. Verse 10. And you have made us kings and priests to our God and shall reign on earth. That's his grace. So first he saves us. That's his mercy. Then he makes us kings and priests. That's his grace. How cool is that? So then they go on. Verse 11. And then I look and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and 1,000,000, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. They're just praising him. They're just like, when they realize what he has endured and that he's waded in the sin of humanity in order to pluck us one at a time into heaven, they just fall on their face and they're like, wisdom and power and glory and might be to God. They're just blown away. Is that your heart this week? Is that your heart before God this week? God, whatever I have in my life or whatever I don't have in my life, glory and honor and power, and it's all for you. It's honor for you. And look at verse 13. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power to him who sits on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever. Verse 14, then the four living creatures said, amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lived forever. Notice they fell down again. So here's obviously what happened. They see Jesus. He comes out. He's got all the scars. They fall on their face and they start praising him. And during their praise, they start standing up and glory and power and might and honor. And they're just praising him. And when they stand up, they realize he's God. They fall down again. They can't even stand. How amazing Do you realize true worship isn't paying dues? It's not something we owe God. True worship is giving thanks. It's something we give God. That's why the true worshiper will worship in spirit and in truth. Not because it's what I do or have to do. It's because this is what he deserves. And I'm overwhelmed as I give him my worship and praise. It just draws me in deeper to realize that he's worth more than I can even offer. Thankfulness is a lost art. Thankfulness is a lost art, unfortunately. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Give thanks to our Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of all the saints in light. What? Let me rewind that. Please listen. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In other words, here's what that's saying. Folks, you and I, as believers, we get to inherit all that is in heaven and in earth, in the cosmos, everything that belongs to God because we are his adopted children, we get to partake. And we're worried because we don't have a 75-inch high-def TV in our living room. Being thankful. Listen, being thankful shouldn't be about stuff or relationship or position or status. Being thankful is about being content what God has given you here because this isn't it. It's what we're going to get up there. That's it. And what do we get? We're going to be kings and priests. We're going to inherit all that was meant for Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us that we're going to sit on his throne. I don't even know how that works. Kind of scary. It's not like sitting in, Captain Kurt's chair. I mean, that's nothing. Always thought it'd be cool to sit at that chair, but that's a high chair for a baby compared to God's throne. Jesus Christ. Philippians, I told you we're going to be on the bus. Philippians 4:11 and 13 says this. Not that I speak in regard to need. There we go. If you have your cell phone, you might want to put it on silent. Hey. Philippians. Watch, mine will be the next one to go off. Anyone on Facebook, don't call me right now because I don't know if it's on silent. It's like, oh yeah, Pastor Randy? I just gave someone the wrong idea. Okay, Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. Not that I speak in regard to need. Do you hear what he said? Not that I speak in regard to need. For I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. And I know how to abase and I know how to abound. In everywhere, in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know that verse existed to look at many in the church today. Not just our church, but any church, the church across America. Listen, you look around and so many people put their faith in different things. Things that cannot strengthen you, folks. They're empty. Don't look for strength in the Astros or the Cowboys. Don't look for strength in Mercedes or Porsche. Don't look for strength in Apple or Microsoft. Don't look for strength in Gucci or Versace. Don't look for strength in Republican or Democrat. Look for strength in the only God, the only King, the only potentate, the only deity, the only one who loves you with an perfect love, with an everlasting love, and cares about you. He never slumbers or sleeps. He watches over you as you sleep because he loves you as his own children. In fact, many of those things I listed, and the list could go on, but many of those things I listed will leave you weaker if you put your trust in them, and some of them will leave you way poorer. Gucci, Versace, Porsche. Turn with me. Psalm 50. Psalm 50, verse 14. Psalm 50, verse 14 says this: offer to God the sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Why a sacrifice? Why is it a sacrifice? You know why it's a sacrifice of thanksgiving? Because sometimes it's hard to do. There are times when offering God thanksgiving doesn't come easy. In fact, it's almost painful because of what I may be or you may be or what we may be enduring. It takes a real sacrifice to get to that place where you say, you know what? I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't, but you know what? You deserve to be praised and you have promised me, so I'm going to trust in you, even though in my heart I can't bring myself to do that. I got to find a way. I got to find strength in you. It becomes a sacrifice because it ain't easy, but it's so, so good when we do. It's hard sometimes to be thankful, is it not? It's hard sometimes to look for the light at the end of the tunnel, to see the silver lining around the storm clouds that gather around our heart and our lives. I like what Charles Spurgeon says. There should be a parallel between supplication and our thanksgiving. We ought not to leap into prayer and limp into praise. Oh, man. Listen, we should leap into prayer, leap into praise. We should leap into the arms of our Savior, fully trusting in Him. Fully trusting. Thankfulness, folks, is a lost art, and it shouldn't be that way in the church of God. Once again, remember, I just said, Thanksgiving is a holy day, a holiday, which means to be set apart. So if Thanksgiving is a day we set apart, a day to be thankful for what we have, but it often isn't. You know what Thanksgiving has become? Thanksgiving has become another sucker punch of the enemy. You want to know why? Because here's why. Thanksgiving is about being content with the portion God has given you. So what do? We go and we gather together around the table and we'll pray. And sometimes, like what we do in my house, we'll go around the table and say, what are you thankful for? All the while, people are watching the clock, and when it hits midnight, they run to fight with the other discontent people to get more stuff on Black Friday. Right? You just spent the evening being thankful, and you run to the church, and you fight with people for G.I. Joe with a Kung Fu grip. It's like, let go. Why do you, G.I. Joe has the Kung Fu grip. Why do you have a Kung Fu grip on my arm? It's because it's mine. And you know, I used to wonder why they call it Black Friday, and now I know why, because there's no light of Christ in it. It's truly black. And folks, the advertisers, they know. They play us. They do. Listen, I just recently, because it was offered with my wife's new phone and Riley's new phone, they said we'd actually have a cheaper bill if we added DirecTV. I'm like, how does that work? Because the advertising. So we tried to watch a couple of shows because I haven't seen commercial TV in forever. I could not believe that there was more commercial than show. And I remember when I was younger, the types of commercials they had. I don't know. I haven't seen it, but I'm dating myself. But I remember one time seeing a commercial, and if maybe you've seen it, for Oat Brand dog food. And I thought, Oat Brand dog food? When was the last time a person said, God, I wish my dog was more regular? Why would you buy Old Brand dog food? I remember my dad was going to buy a car, and on the TV, one of the advertisements was that the radio had an AM/PM indicator light on the radio. I'm thinking, can you not just use the windows? Oh, look, honey, is it AM or PM? Well, look at the radio. Guess it's PM. Okay, I best put the headlights on then. It's like, that's a selling point? Or what are they all? What's the other thing they do? Well, everything's what? New and improved. So the old thing that you had was old and stale. You know, whatever you have right now is old and stale. And then they get ridiculous, right? They have like, it's not new and improved. Now it's extreme. The extreme cheese puffs. How is a cheese puff extreme? Oh, you got the regular cheese puff? I got the extreme ones. You wimp. It's like, what? You know what I really hate? When you buy a new car, and 6 months later, you see the advertisement, same car, but it says, newly redesigned, with safety features. So you sold me one that wasn't safe? Well, we learned some things. Once you bought it, we saw it wasn't so safe. So what I do is now I wait for... I want to buy a car. I wait till they put out the redesigned version, and then I buy that one. And, of course, then it's newly reimagined. You can't win. Listen, they want to stay in your pocket. They want you to keep thinking you need something new, something more. And they know how to play on us. Listen, you go to the store. They got magazines for cars, for clothes, for guns, for homes, for boats. And all of that is just one giant advertisement, and we pay money for it. So I can read up on what I don't have, so I can see how I can get it. I mean, why else would you buy a book about guns that you don't have? So you can sit there and lust and covet. Listen, true thankfulness comes from knowing that God has given you what you need, not always what you want. We got Thanksgiving tomorrow. However, as Christians, every day should be Thanksgiving, because every day God is amazing. Every day God is in love with you. Every day God cares about you. Every day God has provided for you what you need, not what you greed. True thankfulness can only come, listen to me carefully, true thankfulness can only come from truly trusting God. That's the only way. I'm going to read a lyric by a band called Petra. It's an older band, but it's called I Have a Thankful Heart. Let me read the lyrics. I love this song. I have a thankful heart that you have given me, and it can only come from you. There's no way to begin to tell you how I feel. There are no words to express how you've become so real. Jesus, you've given me so much I can't repay. I have no offering. Your warming touch that melts my heart to stone. Your steadfast love, I'll never be alone. I have a thankful heart that you have given me, and it can only come from you. I have a thankful heart. Words don't come easily, but I'm sure you can see my thankful heart. Help me be a man of God. Help a man who's after your own heart. Help me show my gratitude and keep in me a thankful heart. Folks, isn't God amazing? Hasn't he given us everything upon the cross? And if we've received not one more thing, should we not be overwhelmingly thankful for every breath? You know, I used to do JYC, which was a weekly Bible study at the junior high school on Fridays. I did that until they said that we couldn't do it on Fridays and I didn't have any other day available. But I used to do that. And one of the things I used to do with these kids is every time I'd go there, we'd start off after prayer And while we were having snack, I'd say, okay, who has a God sighting for their week? And inevitably, one of the kids would say, I have a God sighting. I'd say, what's up? That we all woke up this morning and we're all here and we can all study our Bible. I'm like, that is truly a God sighting. To be glad that we could come together like we are now. Open God's word. Praise and sing worship to God. And then partake in what he desires from us. Without faith, as we looked on Sunday, without faith it is impossible to please God. But with faith, we can please him greatly. And when I have faith, guess what I am? Content with what I have and where I am. There's only one thing that never changes. Do you realize that? God will never be new and improved. He's always extreme. He's always the most safe that we could ever find is to be in his presence. And he's always perfect in love. And he's always perfect in his provision for you and I. But the problem is that thankfulness has become a lost art. We have so much to be grateful for. I ran across this one young man's story. A 12-year-old boy named David. He was born without an immune system. And he underwent a bone marrow transplant in order to correct his deficiency. Up to the point of the bone marrow transplant, he had spent his entire life in a plastic bubble in order to prevent exposure to common germs and bacteria and viruses that wouldn't harm us but would kill him. He lived without ever knowing human contact. When he was asked what he'd like to do if he were ever released from his protective bubble, he replied, I want to walk barefoot on grass and I want to touch my mama's hand. And what do we complain about that we don't have? Well, we can't walk barefoot in grass out here. I walk barefoot in the rocks. Ouch. But I can touch the hands of my children, my bride. In a couple of weeks, I'll touch my mama's hands, give her a big hug. What else do we need, folks? Sometimes we lose perspective. I know I do. We lose perspective on the blessings of God. Charles Finney says this, a state of mind that sees God in everything is the evidence of growth in grace and a thankful heart. Brothers and sisters, when you and I can see God in everything, we will be grateful for anything. Like that old saying says, care for nothing, prayerful for everything, thankful for anything. I'm sorry, careful for nothing, prayerful for everything, thankful for anything. Why? Because everything is from him, everything is on his timing, and everything is from his hand. And he knows what is best for us. He has given to you what is perfect for you. He has given to you your portion in life. And we need to be a people who recognize God's portion and are thankful for the portion he's given us. I want to read to you from George Washington. George Washington in 1779, the very first national Thanksgiving proclamation. So people say, you know, we're not a Christian nation. Well, here's our very first president back in 1779 on the very first national Thanksgiving proclamation. He says this, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. Whereas both the House of Congress have, by their joint committees, requested to me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed and acknowledged with grateful heart the many signal favors of Almighty God. The very first Thanksgiving for America was saying we have to acknowledge God, His providence, His provision, and be thankful for what we have. But where is America today? Unfortunately, America today is a nation full of people wanting more. What's in it for me? What can I get on Black Friday, which starts the Monday before? It's like it starts earlier and earlier because they want more and more of your money. And they could care less if you're truly happy. What they're looking at is their own happiness. And guess what? After they get your money, they're still not happy. That's why they keep moving it early and earlier, because it's not enough. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question. Is Jesus enough? Is His salvation enough? Is the cross enough? Is the Word of God enough? I want to close with this thought. The person who can be thankful in every situation is a masterpiece. Because the person who can be thankful in every situation demonstrates the master's peace. Are you a masterpiece of the master's peace? That only comes through the art of thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. And Lord, tomorrow, as we prepare our hearts, even today, every day, Lord, but tomorrow is set aside to teach our families, to teach our children, to share with one another what we are truly, truly thankful for. And Father God, that we would not be enveloped with being thankful for material things, but Lord, that we would be overwhelmed with thankfulness for the spiritual things, and that is Jesus Christ. And Him crucified, and Him risen, and Him alive, and Him coming for His bride very, very soon. May we be thankful. May we be found in a posture of thankfulness as we prepare to be whisked away by her groom. And Lord, until the day You come, Lord, may we find favor in Your eyes, to be filled with hope, and to recognize what it means to be loved by the God of all creation, and to be adopted, and to receive an inheritance unspeakable. But Father, we don't need any of that. But Lord, You promised it. What we need today is contentment in who You are, that's where we find our joy. And so, Lord, thank You for tonight. Thank You for loving us as much as You do. And, Lord, open our eyes to see the things that are of true value and to quit looking for things that we don't have, lusting for them, coveting, sinning. But Father, may we truly understand that what we have is what is meant for us, and to desire more than that is to not be grateful. Not be grateful for who You are and what You have done. Give us thankful hearts. Prepare us to be a sanctuary. Holy. A living sanctuary, Father. God, we love You. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Sing one last song.